These five chapters are called the Upper Room Ministry of Christ, and yet only two of the chapters took place in the upper room, because it's very clear from the end of chapter 14 that they left the upper room. Arise, let us go from here. And they leave the room, and they begin that journey in the dark to go towards the Garden of Gethsemane. It is a Thursday night in Jerusalem. Forgive me for being repetitive, but just to set the scene again, the Lord Jesus is going to be crucified at 9 o'clock the next morning. He's going to go through the night being tried and abused verbally, physically. He's coming to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will wrestle, where he will suffer emotionally before being apprehended by the mob led by Judas Iscariot, who earlier has left in chapter 13. But they leave that room and they're heading towards the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of vines, a place of fruit bearing. The Lord Jesus seems to use that as a visual aid. He more or less says to his disciples, you see these vines? Do you see what they do? Do you see the fruit that they produce? I am the vine. I am the true vine. You are branches. You have to bear fruit, just the way these branches are bearing fruit. This chapter divides itself nicely into three sections, which we will consider: the first 8 verses today, and then the middle section in November, and the last section in December, just nicely rounding off the year, and having done then three complete chapters this year. And verses 1 to 8, we see that believers are branches. Verses 8 to 17, believers are disciples. And verses 18 to 27, believers are strangers. So that is a threefold division of John chapter 15. We are strangers to this world. And by way of outline, the first thing that we want to see is the imagery in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, the one who tends to the vines, the one who looks after them, the one who prunes them, the one who fertilizes them, and so on. And down in verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus says again, ye are the branches. So the disciples knew this picture. This wasn't anything new to them, this illustration, because they knew this from their Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 80, for example, the picture is given of the children of Israel coming up out of Egypt. But the picture in Psalm 80 is that he brought a vine up out of Egypt. Psalm 80 and verse 8. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the river and her she sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see, and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. And we know that throughout Old Testament history that Israel as a vine was not bearing the fruit that she ought to have. Again, the picture is given by Isaiah in chapter 5, verses 1 down to verse 7. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones. See the work of the husbandman. And planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Israel, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. So Israel in the Old Testament was God's vine that expected fruit. The picture is changing, isn't it, in John chapter 15, when Jesus says to his disciples, I am the true vine. Not a country, but me, Christ. I am the true vine. And you are the branches. You're the ones that are now bearing fruit in the world. And isn't that the way it is today for you and me? We are the branches, and we are to bear fruit for the glory of God. This is the imagery here. What is a vine for? Why does a vine exist? I don't think any of us have in our homes a piece of furniture that is a vine. A vine only exists to bear fruit. You can't do anything else with a vine. You can't make furniture out of vine wood. It is not strong enough for that. It's too soft for that. We have this picture in the shortest chapter of the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 15, only 8 verses. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch which is among the trees of the forest, is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can men make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? You see, you and I will have furniture in our homes made of mahogany, made of teak, maybe made of oak. But you'll not have anything in your home made of vine wood. It's too soft. It's no good. Ezekiel is saying here, not even a peg can be made from it to hang something on. It's no good for that. It's not even good wood to burn in the fire. It would burn so quickly. Instead, it is thrown into the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burned? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I will give up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It exists only for bearing fruit. Why do we exist? Why has God saved us? Why has He made us Christians? Why has He given us a different outlook in life? Why are we not consumed with the things of this world? Why do we have it in our hearts to live for another world? Why do we live more for eternity than we do for the things of time? It's because we exist to bear fruit. Israel failed. Again, another verse brings this out in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Yet I planted you a choice vine, wholly of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? Israel was a failure as a vine, but Jesus is a success. He says in verse 5, I am the vine, but the chapter starts off with, I am the true vine. The true vine. Israel didn't remain true as a vine, but I am the true vine. He is still the true vine, because there are branches who are still bearing fruit for him today, 2,000 years after his death. And he is the vine. His father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. And believers are the vintage. We're the ones who grow fruit. And what does the Father do? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So some branches he clears off, and some he cleans up. This would be a painful process. But the Lord is not causing harm to his vine. He is doing it good. Just like any gardener, around this time of year, we will cut back our shrubs and our bushes and so on, that next year, God willing, they will come again. But they need to be cut back now in order to come again next year. And one has said, commenting in verse 3, you are already, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And one has said, a picture of the work of the heavenly husbandman in his church. God had one son without sin, but none without sorrow. As the storm followed Jonah, so the rods, our sins, God's vines, bear better for their bleeding by the knife. His spices smell the sweeter for being under the pestle. So we're talking here about the process of sanctification. When it says every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or he purges it. And what's the purpose of that? That it may bear more fruit. And we go through experiences, and they are growing times. They're painful times, but they are growing times. They're to make us better Christians. They're to take us deeper into the things of God. God will not do anything as a loving heavenly Father, as a husbandman. What a picture of God we have in this chapter. My Father is the husbandman. The Lord will never do anything to drive us further away from him. But everything will happen to bring us nearer and closer to him. Because not only do we see the imagery that the disciples would have appreciated and known. Now, this was nothing new to them. They would have known these Old Testament scriptures that I have read this morning. But as well as seeing the imagery, we see the intimacy in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. There is this living, organic union between vine and branch. About 2.5 weeks ago, wasn't it? On the Wednesday, there was the bad storm. I'm not sure what it was like around here, but certainly in the village of Ahuckle. It was our bin day, so the grey bins were down under the footpaths, and they had just become alive. They were just moving all over the place and toppling over, and rubbish all over the road. A few of us had to go out and gather up the bins and tidy up and all the rest of it. But we have just moved house a few weeks ago, and we were still in the house. But there's a tree in the garden, and the storm brought down quite a large branch. So I just let it lie there, and I got down to it this week to cut it up, to put it into the brown wheelie bin. But it'll take about 3 bins to get rid of this thing. So I filled 2 bins the other day, so I have to wait until the bin's empty next Wednesday before then I cut the rest up. But you can see it dying. It has died, this branch. The leaves have just died on the twigs because it has broken off the main trunk. No longer does it receive its life, its energies from the trunk. It has broken off. You can see the difference. It lying there and the rest of the leaves on the trees, they're a different color. Whereas these ones have died. Abide in me, Jesus says, and you abide in me, I abide in you. That's how it works. That's how you grow fruit. You have to be attached to me. If you're not attached to me, then you're dead. You don't bear any fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So what is this intimacy that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ? But it means to continue in a daily, personal relationship with Jesus, characterized by trust, prayer, obedience, and joy. That's the intimacy that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are branches. Every branch in me. We are branches. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. We're attached to him. Those branches are to bear fruit. The imagery, the intimacy, we see the dependency in verse 5. For without me you can do nothing. We are dependent upon him. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. That's the outcome of abiding in Christ. That's the result. You bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without the branch attached to the vine, receiving its life from the vine, it can do nothing. The branch needs the vine. The believer needs the Savior. Nothing can be done spiritually without him. Without me, you can do nothing. And one of those branches said later on, Paul, in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So sometimes as branches we can feel so weak. We can feel that we're not bearing as much fruit as we would like. We're aware of our helplessness. When Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. But then we can be that branch that says, but I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's our dependency. The imagery, the intimacy, the dependency. In verse 6, we see the tragedy. If anyone does not abide in me, it's either one or the other, isn't it? There's no middle ground. You're either abiding in Christ or you're not abiding in Christ. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. You see, that's what I saw happening with this branch that fell off the tree 2.5 weeks ago. It withered. Now, when I go back round again, we just moved a few hundred yards away to another home, and we're just tidying up the grounds for our landlord. And when I go back round and see it again, it'll have withered more because it's dead. It's off the trunk. If anyone does not abide in me, the outcome of abiding in Christ is being alive and bearing fruit. And if you don't abide in Christ, the outcome is you're cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they're burned. The next door neighbor to us has one of those wood burning stoves, and I've said to him, look, there's a main trunk here, it's about that thick or so, that broke off, and I've it all cut off, and a thing about 10 feet long for him. I've put it in his garden. He'll cut that up and he'll put it in his wood stove. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. What a tragedy if not abiding in Christ, if not finding spiritual and eternal life in Christ? You either abide in Christ or you don't. Or you're dry, brittle, fruitless, lifeless branches. And again, one has commented, Jesus may have in mind the tragic case of Judas, who had appeared as a branch, indistinguishable from the others. But the coming of the winter frosts of temptation exposed him as a withered and dead branch, fit only to be thrown away. Within every disciple community, there are probably those who at the last will be exposed as dead branches. What a tragedy. We have warnings about this. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. The imagery. He is the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ is the vine. We are branches. We are attached to him. There's life there. The intimacy, the dependency, we can't do anything without him. We cannot bear fruit for him unless we're attached to him. The tragedy is not being attached to him. But we see the testimony in verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now the Lord Jesus has been teaching his disciples in these chapters things to prepare them for when he will ascend to heaven, and they're going to be left, and they're going to go out into their life's work. He's not going to be physically present with them, but he's going to be spiritually present with them, with the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom he has taught them about here in these chapters. And he's yet more to say when we come to chapter 16, more about the Holy Spirit. But he has been teaching them about prayer as well, about praying in his name. They'd never heard that before until these chapters. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, of course, all within the will of God, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father, the husbandman, is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In these 8 verses, and you can count them down yourself, fruit is mentioned 6 times. That's the emphasis. Fruit is mentioned 6 times. It speaks of fruit. It speaks of more fruit. It speaks of much fruit. So you can see the growth that's always to be there. There's no going backwards here. It's going forwards. It's going on. It's not going back. It's growing in the Christian life. What fruit does the Bible speak of that we have to grow? The Bible speaks about the fruit of repentance, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of praise, speaks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Is this fruit evident in our lives? Do people see this fruit? Is it growing daily? Another suggests this fruit is good motives, good desires, good dispositions, words, deeds, all springing from faith in harmony with God's law and done to His glory. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And yet, if each of us was to look at our lives, there's always room for improvement, isn't there? There's always room for more. And so this morning, we're attached to Christ. We have a living union with Him because He is the true vine and we are His branches. We are attached to Him because we are to be abundant for Him in growing fruit. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Believers are branches to grow fruit for Him. May the Lord bless His word richly to your hearts and lives. Let us pray.